to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you today about what it means to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. For me, that's probably one of the hardest lessons in the world, just resting quietly in the confidence that God has everything well in hand and waiting patiently for His time. I like schedules and I like predictability, and the Lord wants me to learn to leave things with Him. It's interesting that all three of the husbands that God has given to me, two of whom are with the Lord and one of whom is still with me, have been men who did things very differently from the way I would expect. And I suppose all three of them have been very irritated by my impatience and always wanting to know ahead of time what's going to happen and what they're going to do and why they do this. And I'm sure that God in His providence has chosen husbands who are so different in order to teach me some things which would never come naturally. Waiting patiently is one of them. My husband, Lars Grin, had a lot of time in the South. He has a Southern accent, and he's what you might call laid back, very laid back by comparison with me. And I've had to learn early in our marriage not to be asking questions all the time as to where we were going now. He would ask me to go in the car with him someplace, and then he would make a turn, which I knew was not in the direction that he had told me we were going, and I would find out we were making a stop somewhere, and I would want to ask, well, what's this for, and where are we going now, and why do you have to go in here now? I have to wait patiently. Ultimately, He tells me, or the truth comes out. And the same thing is true of the Lord. Jim Elliot used to say to me, you'll understand why I do it this way when you see the result. Jim was a carpenter, and when he would be making furniture, I would want to be hanging over his shoulder asking what he was doing and why and what was this little thing for and what was he going to do with that. And he would say, leave it with me. I do know what I'm doing, and you'll understand in the end. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 37. Do not strive to outdo the evildoers or emulate those who do wrong, for like grass they soon wither and fade like the green of spring. Trust in the Lord and do good. Settle in the land and find safe pasture. Depend upon the Lord, or rest in the Lord, and He will grant you your heart's desire. Commit your life to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will make your righteousness shine clear as the day, and the justice of your cause like the sun at noon. Wait quietly for the Lord. Be patient till He comes. Do not strive to outdo the successful. It's amazing what 48 hours of quiet resting in the Lord can do. I'm speaking here of the spiritual exercise of resting in the Lord. I'm not speaking of lying in bed or taking a couple of days off work. I'm talking about those situations where you really do not know what to do. It looks rather urgent that you make decisions, that you write that letter or make that phone call or talk to that person, but you really don't know what to say. And so the Lord, I believe, at such a time expects us to wait quietly for Him, and He will act. Well, what do I expect Him to do? I don't know. I don't know what He's going to do. And I don't know what good 48 hours of waiting or quiet resting might do, but I have found that it really does work. I don't mean to make 48 hours a hard and fast rule. But I would suggest for those of you who are in a quandary about any decision that you just lay the thing before the Lord, listen to what He might have to say to you about it, and God may bring to your mind some angle that never occurred to you. But if there isn't an answer, then just make up your mind that you will do nothing for at least 48 hours. My friend Cynthia Heald sends out a little one-page letter every month called Mirrors. And in her recent one, she begins with this verse, Psalm 37:7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." And she quotes from Charles Spurgeon, "This requires much grace to carry out. To rest can be translated be silent or hold thee still. To wait means to stay or rest in expectation and patience. Jerome observes, and this is the hardest precept that is given to man, insomuch that the most difficult precept of action sinks into nothing when compared with this command to inaction." And I certainly sympathize with Cynthia when she says, this is my problem. I like to do. To rest and wait is most difficult. One of the times when the Lord has told me to wait is when I lose things. And instead of tearing the whole house to pieces and being distracted from the work at hand, I've learned to look in the reasonable places, and if the thing is not there, just to carry on with the work that God wants me to do. Postpone the looking. And again and again, more times than I can count, the Lord has brought to my mind, in the course of my doing my duties, the place where I should look for that lost thing. And there it is. I suppose that for those of you who are single and as eager to get married as I was back when I was in my early 20s, to wait on the Lord for His will about marriage is one of the most difficult things in the world. And I read a letter from a young woman in the Orient who was learning to surrender her desire, her great longing for marriage, which is a right and true and natural desire, because after all, God has made us for marriage, hasn't He? He has equipped us for reproduction, and all that relates to the subject of sex and marriage and love comes from God's original design. But God does not have a husband for every woman. What does this psalm have to say to you? Depend upon the Lord, and He will grant you your heart's desire. My desire for marriage was certainly one of the deepest desires of my heart, maybe almost the deepest, but I really do believe that the deepest desire of my heart was the will of God. Well, it so happened that my desires and God's desires coincided in the matter of marriage. Not when I wanted it. And God gave me no promises when I was 21 years old that He was ever going to give me a husband. He said, trust me. Leave it with me. Commit. Trust. Rest. Wait quietly. Well, I committed it. I trusted Him, rather sporadically, off and on, fairly well some of the time, very poorly some of the time. I rested sporadically as well, but ultimately God did give me a husband. So often I get letters from young women asking me if I think the Lord is going to give them a husband, or writing to me, quoting this verse as though this is a promise that if you really want to get married, God is going to give you a husband. I don't think we can say that. I think what God is really getting at here is that He will deepen our desires. He will harmonize, help us to harmonize our wills with His. And He will gradually, as we learn to trust, commit, and rest, transform our desires so that the deepest desire of a person's heart, that the will of God be fulfilled in him, will be what God wants to do. Commit your life to the Lord Trust in Him, and He will act. And that's what I try to say to those who write to me and say, do you think God is going to give me a husband or a wife? All I can say is, He might not, but you don't need to know that now. Commit your life to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act on your behalf. He will do what's best for you. He will make your righteousness shine clear as the day, and the justice of your cause like the sun at noon. Wait quietly for the Lord. Be patient till He comes. And Spurgeon, Cynthia Heald quotes in her little letter here, said this, "Patience is the fair handmaid and daughter of faith. We cheerfully wait when we are certain that we shall not wait in vain. It is our duty and our privilege to wait upon the Lord in service, in worship, in expectancy, in trust all the days of our life. Our faith will be tried faith, and if it be of the true kind, it will bear continued trial without yielding. We shall not grow weary of waiting upon God if we remember how long and how graciously He once waited for us."
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.